Hello, everyone.
Hello, and welcome to May the 4th. I almost did the wrong theme song. I was like, da-da-da-da-da. No, wait, is that Star Wars?
That is Star Wars.
Okay.
If it was dun da dun dun dun
da. That's the other one that was on the...
That's the other Han Solo one.
Da-da-dun, da-da-dun. It's Star Wars.
Wow, what an intro. That was like, she was freestyling there. That was pretty good, Camry. Way to go.
Step in and save
me. My face is super red, but yes, very good, Camry. Way to go.
My eyes are watering.
All right, so we are celebrating Star Wars Week with this Star Wars episode. We are going to look back at previous series in the Star Wars canon. Can I say that?
Yes, TV series that have been released on Disney Plus.
And then also looking forward to things that are going to be released here in the near future.
We're going to do a little ranking.
Yes.
We're going to be ranking what have been our favorite animated Star Wars TV shows, our favorite miniseries or regular series TV shows, and then what are we looking forward to coming here in the next little bit, next year or so.
Yes. All right. So should we jump into it?
Let's jump into it, Corbin. Lead us through.
Okay. So let's talk about the first section of animated TV series. This includes Star Wars The Clone Wars, which there are 7 seasons of.
Yes, and that originally started on Cartoon Network. That wasn't even an original Disney Plus situation, but Disney Plus finished it off with season 7.
Right, and there's lots of episodes.
So much content there.
We actually reviewed a couple of the seasons. Maybe we'll go back to it. We'll see. So Star Wars The Clone Wars. Then we've got Bad Batch, which just recently, as of a few days ago, wrapped up.
And it takes place right after The Clone Wars.
3 seasons of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Star Wars Rebels, which does not have the same animated design as Clone Wars and Bad Batch. A little bit different.
Yeah.
But it took place between... Oh my gosh.
It takes place after Bad Batch, so you're starting the rebellion.
Right.
Is basically what that series is about.
And you're introduced to Thrawn.
Yes. Thrawn, and you have some characters from Star Wars Rebels that then leap into some of the live action movies or shows that we'll talk about in just a second. So Corbin, when it comes to the Star Wars animated television series, which ones are going to be your tippy top and which is your least favorite?
Okay, the one that I would... Oh, boy, this is hard because they're so different. If you're all... Well, let me just talk through this, okay? I'm getting on the couch. All right, here we go. Okay,
he's comfy, guys.
Get
ready.
Lay down. If you're more interested in story and connecting movies and characters, especially like the foundational characters, Star Wars The Clone Wars, to me, is the pick.
Okay.
Which I really, really like. So okay. It's between Star Wars The Clone Wars and Bad Batch.
Okay.
Bad Batch is more of a deeper dive into some other characters. And also the themes and story are focused on a little more obscure topics that connect all the way to episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
Oh, and I really like the Bad Batch.
I know you do. Okay, I'm going to go first because I have mine ranked. So, I'm going to be a Star Wars heretic for a second. So if you're a deep Star Wars lover, just brace yourselves. All right? Just let me be for a minute. I'm actually going to put Star Wars Rebels as my favorite. Star Wars Rebels is more of my... It feels more nostalgic to me because you've got Leia kind of popping in and out. You've got C-3PO popping in and out. And you've got... like that smaller, more intimate rebellion. The Clone Wars, I'm going to put at... Clone Wars is so big. It's so massive and it's literally like... So, what am I trying to say? I can't talk, Corbin.
The Clone Wars is like reading Harry Potter. It's a huge series. It takes time and in some cases effort.
And honestly, I get tired of it. Like the Clone Wars starts to really feel one note to me after a while. I'm like, okay. Like when I hit like season 4 or 5 and I was just kind of like, okay, I'm kind of over the storylines. I'm over the characters. I'm over the Jedi being numbskulls. So for me, I would say Rebels is my favorite because it feels nostalgic like those original 3 movies. Bad Batch is number 2. Bad Batch has been ripping my heart out We're getting ready to watch season 3.
I converted you.
You did. Season 2 was devastating. I will say this about Bad Batch. I feel like it's a Star Wars series you can watch and you don't have to know anything about Star Wars. Right? Like, you can just kind of... There's such obscure right. characters. You don't have to have context necessarily and be like, what did this person do in this series or what's happening here? You can just kind of go in and enjoy it.
Mm.
Does that sound true to you?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, obviously there's storylines that connect to other things. But, yeah, I think there's... I think it's a standalone. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to, it connects really well into the other stuff. But really, you could just dive in.
Right.
So Clone Wars is going to come in at number 3 for me.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. Which I know there are people who are like religious about Clone Wars. But I just kind of am over it. I'm over it, guys. Which is why it's surprising for me that I love Bad Batch so much. Just because I'm like, I'm over it. And then I watched Bad Batch and I was like, this is so good. Dang well, it.
I like what I said originally about the Clone Wars and Harry Potter. I think it's similar in the sense that I don't know if I will ever go all the way back through the Clone Wars from beginning to finish.
Yeah.
But after watching Bad Batch, the third season, the first few episodes, I actually went back to the Clone Wars. Because there's a main character mm-hmm. in the Bad Batch where you're like, wait, what happened to him? And I went back to the Clone Wars and I watched like 4 episodes in a row. And then the next day I watched like season 7 and I was just like, this is great. So when it's like pick and choose, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to binge. Once you've watched it once or like Harry Potter, you're going to pick your favorite parts, go back, read it,
mm-hmm.
enjoy
it. It's like reference material.
Right, right. Mm. So I think I hate doing this because Clone Wars is almost like, it is like doctrine.
I know. It's like you are slapping Dave Filoni in the face right now.
Well, I'm not, because I'm acknowledging the doctrine is good. It's just you got to wade through it, you know, a little bit. And you get lost a little bit in it. Bad Batch is kind of that quick hitter. Helps you feel good. You're entertained.
It's so fun.
It's Star Wars. Gosh, I think I'm leaning more Bad Batch right now.
I think you are
and
too.
And then Clone Wars is second. And then Rebels is third. Rebels, I've always had a little bit of a hard time with because it felt like...
You had a hard time with the main character.
As an adult, it feels like I'm going back to like a 12-year-old.
So it felt more immature to you.
Right.
Okay.
And just it just felt a little kiddish. And so if when I was 12, 15, 16, and I had that nostalgia, I would be like, I would probably love Rebels. But being an adult and going back to it, it was just kind of like, okay, all right. I mean, there's some good stuff. Thrawn.
Hard disagree, so, but that's anyways. Fine. Okay. I will say that they're all really good. Like, surprise! Like I recommended Clone Wars to a friend, and they were like, wait, is it like a kid show? And they're like, it's animated. And they're like, whatever. And then like 2 weeks later, they came back and they're like, yeah, I'm like 3 seasons. It's so good.
and
that's how my parents are too. And I got them invested and they're like, now that we're watching it, they're like, this is so good.
It has the image initially of a kid's show, but the more you get into it, it gets dark.
It does.
It gets very intense.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I like, yeah, Clone Wars is second for me.
I will say my favorite, just for fun, let's say who our favorite character is from each series. Like, who's the character that you're like, I am so excited to get to experience this person. For example, Bad Batch, I'm just watching it, so it's very fresh. I love Wrecker and I love Tech. And they're complete opposites. Wrecker is like the human bowling ball that's just going to punch everyone's lights out. And Tech is like the droid of a human being who has no emotions and is just constantly giving people the statistics about how the odds that things are going to go well.
Right.
Love, Tech, and Wrecker.
So in Bad Batch, the one of the characters I did not like at first that I've grown to like is Omega.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like Omega very much at first, but
just so sad because she's so sweet.
I know. It just kind of felt a little gimmicky to me. No. I was just like, oh, you're just trying to get the emotion, but I understand.
No.
I understand now. Okay. And with Bad Batch, I like Omega. I like Hunter. I think Hunter's awesome.
Hunter's like the main leader of the group.
The ringleader. And then I do like, and this is kind of hard because Crosshair is, he's kind of the wild card.
Yes.
That makes you feel a little bit yucky sometimes.
Uh-huh. You're like, ooh.
But I just like that type of,
you love
consistent,
the sniper image.
The consistent, emotionless kind of character that just is really skilled.
Mm-hmm.
and doesn't really deviate much.
And doesn't really take crap from people.
Right.
Like, not a people pleaser at all. It's right. just like, this is what I am. Get over it.
Yep. Okay. Mm. So that's Bad Batch. Clone Wars. What about you?
Clone Wars, whenever it came to episodes that involved... Corbin's going to hate me. Padme in the Senate, I really enjoyed. I did. I liked that. I love Padme, and I loved watching her kind of get to do her thing and right. be in her comfort zone. And all of the other senators that she meets along the way and like befriends and stuff. I liked that part.
Okay. Same thing as Omega in Clone Wars, Ahsoka. I know she's like the classic, everyone likes her.
Yeah.
Like for the first few seasons, though, you're just kind of like, oh, gosh. But by the end, she's the one that you're like, okay. You are really awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously the Mandalorian piece with Clone Wars is really fun and interesting.
Yes. I was going to say, I do love watching Obi-Wan and have his like almost romance with Satine. That's an interesting foil to his character when you have Anakin and Padme. Mm-hmm. And he's always like trying to like make Anakin be good.
Right.
And then he's like, oh my gosh, there actually is somebody that there is temptation.
And then along with Ahsoka, for me, Rex. That's where you really start to connect with some of the clones.
Yes.
And you see their story, and you see them as more than just soldiers, but actual people with
mm-hmm.
souls.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of season 7, you're just like, oh my gosh. No.
And if you like Captain Rex, he's in Bad Batch too. He pops up here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, he pops up everywhere.
Star Wars Rebels, Corbin, I'm curious what you, if you liked anything, like who were you kind of like, yeah, this is fun when this person shows up.
Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's Thrawn, like Thrawn's the man.
Oh yeah. I forgot.
I mean, I liked most of the like good characters. There's,
Hera and Kanan.
Kanan's cool.
Ezra.
Ezra grew on me. It mm-hmm. took a little bit longer.
You have a hard time with that teenage boy demographic.
Yeah, right. Thrawn is definitely just...
He's the reason you watch that show.
He's the reason I
Yep.
I read all the books
yep.
and love it. So yep. Thrawn is the man.
For me, Star Wars Rebels, I really like Kanan a lot. That his little arc being like one of the little Jedis that escaped Order 66 and him trying to like make life work after that and then get kind of getting reintroduced to his Jedi self. I really liked that. Very interesting take on a Jedi story.
Okay.
All right. Let's go into TV series and
live action TV series.
Yeah. And miniseries. There are 5 options here, Corbin. Should we go back and forth? Starting with 5?
Well, I'll list them off here, and then you can kind of give us your top 3 or however you want to do it.
Okay.
So we got Obi-Wan Kenobi, which was released about 2 years ago. It was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Andor, The Mandalorian, seasons 1, 2, and 3, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka.
Yep. Okay. So for me, I think we should start at the bottom and kind of work our way up.
Okay.
All right. For me... The bottom of the list was the easiest hit for me. It's going to be The Book of Boba Fett.
That is same with me.
Yeah. It's not because it's not good. It's just, it was okay. I'm not a huge Boba Fett fan. So when I heard this was coming out, I wasn't like super excited. I was like, oh, Star Wars. But I wasn't like, oh, it's a character I want more stories from. It was fun that they brought back the actor who did Jango Fett in the prequels. So like, it still looks like the Boba jeans, you know, but Book of Boba Fett was solid. It was good. The only parts I would go back to are the parts with the Mandalorian.
See, that's where the Mandalorian got in the way. If they would have released Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett first, I think it would have been a lot more enjoyable. The other thing is, well, it lost its way.
Mm.
It got really confusing because they started talking more about the Mandalorian than Boba Fett. There were episodes where...
It was like 2 episodes. It wasn't the whole thing.
To me, that you lose your way, though. If this is the Book of Boba Fett, why are we spending so much time with the Mandalorian when there's already... 2 seasons of The Mandalorian. So it felt a little bit gimmicky in the sense of, we know how much you love The Mandalorian. Let's infuse a little bit more of that into this.
Corbin always on the hunt for potential manipulation. I will say this. My thing that I struggle with the most about The Book of Boba Fett is I'm learning that I just am not into the like the gangster side of Star Wars. It's a side of Star Wars that I have very little interest in. They have like entire comic books that are about kind of like the Hutts and the gangs and the Crimson Dawn and these like sleazy gamblers. And like, it's just like an area of Star Wars I have no interest in. So I think that's another ding for me too.
What about Han Solo and Lando? they're part of that crowd a little bit.
They are, but I prefer them when they like come out of that and join the rebellion. I don't want to sit there in the scum and villainy with them. I want to move them other places.
And the Mandalorian's a little bit like that. He's a hired gun.
He is, but you don't get as much into like the huts and the gangs and the like smuggling, like into the like drug smuggling,
yeah,
the spice smuggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not my favorite. All right. So you agree with me?
Yeah, Book of Boba Fett is the bottom.
Okay, this is where things get interesting. I was like, ooh, this is going to take a minute. I'm actually going to put Ahsoka at number 4. How do we feel about this?
Ahsoka felt like the same thing as the Book of Boba Fett.
Did it feel gimmicky?
Well, no, it felt like it was a series about Ahsoka, but we spent so much time with Sabine.
Oh, with Sabine.
And her issues.
Mm-hmm.
And are they following up the Ahsoka with another season?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, because she's out in the middle of who knows where.
Yeah.
Stuck out there.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably hitch a ride on a whale and get back. Some people are really confused right now. Go watch. It's a little jarring. It was a little jarring for me too, but I get it.
It tracks.
It had to grow on me.
Yeah.
Right. Thrawn is in this.
He is. Series. That's why I was wondering if he was a pull for you.
The image of his
Corbin didn't like seeing a human person try and play.
Everything
animated.
Worked except for he was a little poochy in the tubby.
Oh, stop, in the tubby. Corbin.
It's like if you had Count Dooku have a big belly.
Stop.
Like a beer belly.
Was it that bad? It was a little different than this like really streamlined, thin character that they drew in a picture.
I just feel like that's part of his personality. He is so focused on efficiency and detail and strategy that he just got this little pooch. So there must be something on that world, some kind of a juice or
maybe he's stress eating, okay?
Oh my gosh. That
he's like, this is not going well.
He's like, maybe when in the second season, because he's back where he wanted to be in the first place, maybe the stress eating will dissipate.
Okay, so Thrawn didn't initially live up to what you were thinking. I think his personality.
The voice, personality, and his top third.
His face.
Spot on.
Yeah, because it's the same actor that does the voice
right.
in the Rebels. Ahsoka for me ends up at number 4 because, again, what kind of a Star Wars fan am I? Ahsoka is not my favorite character. I don't hate her, but everyone else adores her, and I'm not at that level, not even close. It was good. My big draw here, I was like, are we going to see Ezra? It paid off for me. We did get to see Ezra, and I want it to be the show of Ezra moving forward and maybe less Ahsoka, but I don't know what they're going to do in the future. But that was the draw for me, the mystery around Ezra.
And that's a good point. The big risk in this series was taking animated characters and doing live action.
Yes.
Ezra was a hit.
Yep.
Thrawn was close, mm-hmm. but not quite. Ahsoka, look-wise, I think they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Our brother said the voice. He can't stand the voice, though.
Oh, yeah. My issue with Ahsoka live action, it's more about her personality. But again, maybe I just don't understand Ahsoka enough and connect with her enough to understand what she should be like at this stage in her life.
She's too stiff.
She does seem a little teeny bit emotionally stiff.
Just like constantly folding her arms and just walking around. And you're just like, this is not the Ahsoka I remember. I know it's different, but it's hard to do this. But she's just incredibly agile. And not necessarily strong and wise, but instinctual.
Yeah.
And
the hard thing is we kind of missed that. We saw her really young and now we're seeing her older. And we missed that transition of like, how did she get here?
Yeah.
So kind of we've talked about this with Han Solo, where like you see him in Solo and then you see him in the originals and you're like, what happened? And we kind of missed that. Like, let's watch.
That one was a little bit more believable. This one is a little off.
Yeah,
but they did their best. So it was a big gamble.
It was.
And it kind of, I mean, I watched it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. But, it was enjoyable.
But yeah.
So that's why it was not at the top of my list.
So yours is number 4, Ahsoka.
Number 4.
I'm going to say number 4 for me was Obi-Wan.
I was going to say, you had problems with Obi-Wan.
I just don't remember much about it. And the bad girl, person. I didn't care.
You were so mad at her while we were watching it. Like, you were so in the moment, you did not like
her. It was embarrassing because I did not feel threatened by her as a viewer of this show.
Yeah.
And yet she wielded this aura
of
being a true threat. And I just, she seemed like a nuisance. The like little kid that keeps bugging you and you're just like, get away. I would squish you, but I don't want to feel bad.
Oh my gosh. I think that the risk with Obi-Wan, P.S. Obi-Wan for me was at number two because I adore Obi-Wan.
Yes, yes, you do. Yes.
And I loved getting to see Alderaan and Leia. Alderaan is one of my favorite places in Star Wars. So the fact that we got to see little Leia and Alderaan and Bail Organa and their entire family do their thing was amazing. The risk with Obi-Wan, though, was you can't... You want to have that conflict with Darth Vader and Obi-Wan's still there emotionally.
Right.
But what kind of a bad guy do you have fill in the gaps? And so bringing her in was hard because it was like, we got to have somebody who's like propelling him forward, who's chasing him. And it can't be Vader for the whole time. So you have to put in like a middleman. It felt like they were like, let's put in a middleman. And the middleman, you're right. It did feel a little in the way at times.
And I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't love the Inquisitors.
I don't either.
In the Clone Wars, it just feels a little corny.
I wouldn't say corny, but I prefer them in a video game.
In the Clone Wars, their lightsabers twirl.
And they like fly.
And they fly. That's corny to me.
Okay.
So the Inquisitor's not a huge. I'm okay. Why don't we just have, you know, like the Knights of Ren, which didn't get any screen time whatsoever.
I know.
Or even like the bad guy, like the Emperor's his red henchmen.
That would have been cool.
Some kind of light of that, but the Inquisitor's just. It's like we're getting rid of all the Jedi sensitive people except for our little secret army of flyers. It's like, okay, they twirl their wands.
Yeah. So. I think we're on the same page in terms of the Inquisitor line.
Right.
But for me, there was so much good that happened in Obi-Wan that I really liked that it got bumped up the list.
Okay.
All right. So Corbin, who comes in at number three for you?
So number three is Ahsoka.
Okay. My number three is Andor. Andor gets a notch below Obi-Wan simply because of tone. And I've said this about Rogue One. Rogue One is amazing, but the tone gets a little dark for me. And Andor gets a little grungy and dark for me, especially when he's in the prison. Those episodes are, I mean, it's relentless. I'm a bit of a softie. I will completely admit that. But I love getting to know Cassian Andor and his backstory, but the tone is a little darker. So it takes a small little hit below Obi-Wan.
All right.
What do you love about Andor? Because it's number two for you.
It's number one.
Oh, is it number one for you?
It's a number one.
Okay, give us.
It's the series where it was every Wednesday we're watching this.
Okay.
I cannot wait to see how
you
he's going to escape this time, right? Nope. Dang it. Next week, he's going to. Nope. You know, it's you're in there with him emotionally. You feel his just struggle of trying to get ahead.
Yeah.
And as soon as he does get ahead, he gets in trouble and gets thrown in prison. And you're just like, my goodness, this guy. No wonder he would be the way he is in Rogue One.
Yeah. And you love Rogue One. So this feels like this is like you Star Wars at its best for you.
Right.
Okay.
So Book of Boba Fett number five.
Mm-hmm.
What do I have number four?
Obi-Wan. No, Ahsoka. Ahsoka was four. Obi-Wan was three.
Okay. Well, I might have to go back and listen to this, but I can't remember.
Why aren't you writing this down?
I should have wrote it down. I was going for this great reveal, and now I can't remember the reveal.
Okay.
The Book of Boba Fett 5, Ahsoka 4, Obi-Wan 3, and I feel like those might be switched, actually.
Mandalorian
is 2, and Andor is 1.
So for me, The Mandalorian came at number 1, and I think it's because of the tone it set for like Star Wars TV series moving
forward.
Right,
it was the new hope.
I love The Mandalorian. I love Grogu, and I loved his old ship, but Corbin did not. That's fine. But I've liked getting to learn about the Mandalorian culture. Like, that has been so fascinating. And the theme music is amazing. So I feel like they set us off on a really strong note. So I'm giving it the number one.
Again, I think they missed on the bad guy. in that one.
Oh, that's right. You don't like Moff Gideon.
No.
Well, he's gone now, so.
Is he gone? Is he for sure gone? I can't remember.
Didn't they have their big battle at the end of season three?
I kind of feel like he's just going to keep showing up.
He's that character. He's like Captain Phasma.
He's like Maul, but he's not cool. He's like, I'm the new Maul. And we're just like, no, man, no. Just go away.
Maul Jr.
Look, I will buy you a planet. Just go live there and stay out of it. Just go away.
Go away. All right, so we were pretty close. The biggest differences we have in the live action TV series is Obi-Wan and Andor. And I think that's a taste thing is what down to.
Right.
So Corbin, looking forward, you've got a series that you haven't watched that I have. And we have two new series coming out this year. So let's start with Star Wars Resistance. How likely do you feel like that you are to watch Star Wars Resistance, which is an animated TV series you haven't watched yet?
So can you give, just for our listeners and myself, can you give a little bit of an overview of Star Wars Resistance? What's it all about?
Yeah, so it's an animated Star Wars TV series that takes place after Episode 6. So this is before The Force Awakens, right before The Force Awakens. So Poe Dameron makes a couple appearances.
Right.
You're just kind of starting to get the hints about the First Order. Takes place on this like massive barge out in the middle of an ocean, and there's where they do ship racing. What's the
pod racing?
Not pod racing. They fly like ships in races. Worst explanation ever. It's like swoop racing, NASCAR for ships.
Keep going. This is good.
Yeah. And so the main character is somebody who's trying to work his way into being able to fly ships and make money. But the First Order starts to kind of come in and tell him that they need to knock it off.
Yeah.
And the Resistance shows up and they're trying to get them involved.
Yeah, this is probably on the bottom of my list here.
Is it because of my explanation?
No, your explanation. I was on the edge of my seat. But as soon as you said First Order starts getting involved, I'm just like, okay, all right, they're coming. Okay, yeah, all right, here we go. First Order again. Okay.
I will say this.
It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
It's my least favorite of the animated TV series, and it feels to me more, it's the most juvenile feeling of the four.
Okay. All right.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Star Wars Resistance. I'm anticipating that's probably number three on this group of three. What about, you mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, The Acolyte. You're really excited for the release of that.
Yeah. So they just released the new trailer for The Acolyte. I don't know much about it, to be honest with you, except that it takes place during like the Old Republic. So this is us going back as far in the timeline as we've ever gone. This is like hundreds of years before the prequels. So the Emperor's not even around. This is the Jedi at the height of their power. So you have a full Jedi Order. You have tons of Jedi and they're all working together. And the Acolyte, I believe, is this like mysterious force wheeling figure that shows up and everyone's like, what?
So just doing a little research, they said that it takes place at the end of the High Republic,
mm-hmm.
which is about 100 years before the Phantom Menace. So I'm curious about this. When I came across this earlier,
have you watched the trailer for it?
I did watch the trailer. Lots of Jedis. And they're at this point of very little resistance in terms of evil, but there seems to be some like shadow.
Yes. And when they describe this, they were like, because in the trailer, they all like, there's a scene where like all these Jedi like pull out their lightsabers. And the creators were like, look, you need to understand that at this point in the Republic, a Jedi hardly ever uses their lightsaber because everybody's at peace. There's no reason for them to go around slashing droids. There's no droids. Like, everybody's good.
So does that mean they're unskilled with the lightsaber?
Probably. So to have them all pull out their lightsabers at once, clearly there is a big threat.
Right.
Essentially.
The reason why I'm interested in this, and I don't think this is going to be the case at all, but I would love if there was some little hints or drops about Darth Plagueis.
Oh, that would be interesting. I don't know how they would do that. Well, no, that's kind of his time period. He could maybe be...
Or his master or whatever. Just
or
starting
maybe
to
have
see
like,
the Sith.
Have
just
some canon confirmation that there was a Darth Plagueis who kind of got Palpatine going.
Well, I mean, that's in episode 3. He's telling...
Yeah.
Yeah. He mentions the name. So it'd be just a little like...
More canon.
The Sith. And what's fascinating, yeah, because the book I read about this is not in the canon.
Right, and that story he tells could be like he's telling a myth, you know? So like, let's see like some actual facts about what's happening.
Right. But the way that they portrayed it, which would make sense in this era, if they continue to go with this kind of storyline, is that the Sith were basically underground for a long time.
Yeah.
Just biding their time. Mm-hmm. And that is why, and the reason why I think that's interesting is because when Palpatine comes, it is the manifestation of decades of just
hundreds
waiting,
of years waiting
and manipulating and getting ready to
set
rise
the groundwork.
To power.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that'd be fascinating. But again, I they probably won't even, I don't know if they'll go that route. But The Acolyte is intriguing for that reason for me.
Yeah. The last show we've got coming out this year is Skeleton Crew. Now, based on what I've heard from the Skeleton Crew, this is starring Jude Law. I've heard it advertised as like Star Wars version of the Goonies. So it's like a really young cast and they're all like going on kind of an adventure together. And Jude Law is like the adult figure in the room. That's how I've heard it described. Is Star Wars meets the Goonies. I hope that line's in there.
This is a confusing series for me because of Jude Law. Because I see he looks to me similar to Ewan McGregor. So I'm going to like see him and be like,
it's
wait.
It's Obi-Wan's brother. Can you imagine?
Wait, which one are you?
We find out that they have siblings.
Am I wrong about that? Do Jude Law and Ewan McGregor kind of have similarities there? Or
I mean,
is it
vaguely,
just because they're male,
both white men with
English accents?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the baseline with lightish colored hair.
I thought there was some similarities there, but maybe I'm
a little bit, but not a ton.
Okay. Not to the point where I should be really confused about Obi-Wan.
You're like, what's he doing?
So apparently this one takes place after the events of Return of the Jedi, so after episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
And he is protecting children.
Yes,
apparently.
The Goonies. You listen to my explanation?
The Goonies, I don't know the Goonies that well.
The Goonies is a bunch of like teenage kids.
Yeah.
They go on like an adventure together.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. It's like preteens and teenagers.
Ooh, that could be.
Going on an adventure together.
Okay. All right. I will tell you which one I'm most excited for and least excited about.
Okay. I think I can predict right off the bat. The Acolyte is your most excited.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of the Darth Plagueis possibility.
Just I like the dark shadows and everyone's trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Mm.
And this idea of prosperity, but realizing that even despite the times of prosperity, you should be wary of other things, which the Jedi were just like, we don't have to use our lightsabers.
Yeah, that may be the hardest part about the Acolyte is watching them be at the height of their arrogance.
Right.
Oh gosh, that could have just put a damper on my experience.
So that one I'm most excited about. Skeleton Crew is second.
Will you actually watch Skeleton Crew? Or do you, we don't have a trailer yet, so that's kind of unfair to even.
Oh, there is a trailer.
For the Skeleton Crew?
Uh-huh.
Like a legit trailer, or is it like you
no,
see
I
a
made
droid
it
my, in a
I
ship?
Made it myself. Jude Law with like as gosh. Watson and Sherlock Holmes running around with a lightsaber.
With a mustache and a bowler hat.
Okay. No, but I there's a trailer with the Skeleton Crew, so okay. You can check it out.
Oh,
but
yay.
Yeah, that one's second. And Star Wars Resistance.
You'll never watch that one.
I watched the first 5 minutes, and as soon as Poe showed up, I was like, oh, Cameron's going to love this.
Did you not love it? I already watched it. That's why I watched it. I watched it for Poe. He's not in it very often.
And
though.
Even then, you said it was super. Maybe I'll watch it with my kids, because I think there is some really good Star Wars stuff in terms of what is the series? The Young.
You just went past
Young
it.
Jedi Adventures.
Yep.
Which is very young. My kids have watched a few of those episodes. Mm-hmm. And then Star Wars Resistance, Rebels, Clone Wars. You're kind of growing into
the big stuff.
The big stuff.
Yeah. You're indoctrinating them young.
Well, you know, you go to Disneyland. You want them to know what the heck's going on, right?
Everything always goes back to Disneyland.
Yes.
For Corbin.
Yeah.
You got to prep them.
Why is Bigfoot up there? Well,
and
kids,
you're just like, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah,
please,
the parents
no.
are like, well, you know, Bigfoot just wanders around Disneyland. No. And you're like, you want to backhand the parent? That's Chewbacca. Hello. Even though I call him Chewiebacca.
You know, you call him Chewiebacca.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. I don't feel like we've been too. I feel like if you've watched these shows, I feel like we're pretty on par.
Of course we are. It's us.
We
agree with ourselves.
I would say I think there are a lot of people who love Ahsoka and so therefore loved the TV show Ahsoka. she is such a big deal, and I still am missing the boat on her, and I feel like I'm missing out on something, but also I'm okay with it.
Though it's okay. You don't have to love it.
I'll just love Obi-Wan.
Just instead. Watch Clone Wars Season 7 and...
and be good with it. So, Corbin, if you were to dip into any of these shows briefly, not the whole thing, but just briefly today to celebrate May the 4th, which one do you feel like would give you the May the 4th vibes?
Well, I'm super excited because Bad Batch, I haven't finished the last two episodes yet.
Is that going to be your May the 4th activity?
I've been a faithful disciple with the Bad Batch. Really excited about that. That, along with the Clone Wars, dipping my toe back into some of the, and I would pick and choose, like, my favorite episodes. And then as far as the Andor, because my wife loves Andor, and that's, it's always good to have a show with somebody that you both really enjoy.
Uh-huh.
You know those shows that you sit and watch with somebody, and they're like, okay, we can watch it if you want, and you're just like...
I watch those shows by myself.
Ah! Like, we're supposed to like this together.
Yeah, you're like, come on, get on board. For me, I'll be honest, I've been getting the itch to rewatch some Obi-Wan. I watched a clip of Ewan McGregor describing what it was like to come face to face with Darth Vader for the first time. And he said that he felt like he was 8 years old again. And he was he's like, I was legitimate. There was no acting. I was terrified. And I want to go back again with some of that in the back of my head and like rewatch it and be like, oh my gosh, I can see the real terror.
That was the highlight of the series, was the Darth Vader scenes.
Oh man, it was just devastating. It continued to be, it got more devastating as it went on. And how they kind of like, you know, the highlight, spoiler alert, everyone, for Obi-Wan, if you have not watched it, highlight, very last scene, where who shows up? Qui-Gon Jinn. And I'm like, it's Liam Neeson. There he is. It's Qui-Gon.
Where's me?
You'll have to listen to our bonus episode to understand that reference. But yeah, where's Shmi? So in terms of dipping my toe in for a little May the 4thness, some Rebels, right, and maybe some Obi-Wan.
And if you're not a Star Wars fan, celebrate appropriately. Watch some Star Wars stuff. Okay. If you need a specific recommendation, reach out to us through Instagram.
Uh-huh.
We would love to provide a recommendation based
Corbin
on your personality.
Corbin can give you a Clone Wars.
Look. I celebrate Christmas every year for all of y'all. You can celebrate May the 4th for me. Okay.
Good point.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Just, just watch something. Just something.
Yep. Okay. If you liked this episode, check out our bonus episode on Substack.
Yes, ma'am. Sir. Sorry. I zoned out for a minute.
Check out our bonus episode on Substack, where we do a blind date with Star Wars characters and have them do a nice date activity and see if true love happens.
Guys, there is some true love that happens. And there's also some like absolute repulsion. And Corbin and I, we set each other up on a date with a Star Wars character and went on the double date together. So if you want to hear who we have to take on a double date.
And as a little teaser, it was me with Camry's date having a grand old time.
Corbin and my date had great time. I was horribly uncomfortable. It was okay-ish, I guess. Typical first date.
Okay, so we'll talk to you then.
This has been another episode of the Neverland Files. Join us on Substack for additional episodes and fun Neverland Files content. Thanks for listening.